We all have needs from time to time, but some people are more than that. They are in a place where they are needy. So how does that happen, and what are we supposed to do about it when they look to us with their needs?
Let's see what the Bible says about that. Hey, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you're here for this one. If you're watching on YouTube, I'll go ahead and ask you to like this video, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We've got podcasts coming out every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. And I would say you should share this with someone. Maybe share it with someone who's needy.
Oh,
kidding.
Yeah.
That would be awkward if you sent it to them, you know?
Yeah.
But if this was sent to you, don't get offended. It's a good podcast we got today, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and thanks to all those who do subscribe and listen.
Yeah.
Every like, every share only furthers the reach and increased potential for YouTube sharing it more and posting it more. So you're having an impact on sharing the gospel and sharing truth every time you click like, share, or subscribe. So that's cool. All right, so we all have needs from time to time. In fact, we were born needy. Mm-hmm. Even before man sinned, he was in need.
Yep.
He was in need of knowing how deeply he was loved. He was in need of depending upon God as the source for what is truth, what is right, and for direction. Mm-hmm. Sin complicated that, of course, and Eve and Adam acted on the lie of the serpent to be their own source of direction and truth. And as a result, even greater sin came into the world, and it made even a need, much more needy situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Needy now for redemption, for worth, for love, for acceptance, and for hope. But God provides that. He sends a sacrifice. A promise in the garden came true in another garden as a Savior would go to the cross and would take our sin upon himself. He would then pay for our sin so that all those who received that gift by grace or a gift of grace by faith would be redeemed. And we could no longer have to be in a position of being needy.
Yeah.
We would have our need, our deepest needs met in Christ. And this is how we were meant to live. This is how we were meant to live in dependence upon the one who created us and the one who has now redeemed us. And it's right to be in need and looking to him in that. But there's also a component to this in Christ in which we no longer are in the needy category. He meets our deepest needs.
Yeah.
And the longings that we had for wondering if we have worth, if we could be loved, if our sin could be forgiven, that is all met in Jesus Christ so that we no longer stay in the needy category.
Yeah, definitely. But if you don't know and you don't have that satisfaction down deep in you of the completion that you have in Christ, then you are going to have that neediness.
Yeah.
And again, it will be only more and more extreme based on how much you know or how much you don't know. The completion that you have in Christ, your identity, your standing, your solid, between you and God, your creator, you know.
I know the scripture uses this picture to help us of when we come to Christ, we are born again.
Yeah.
So we begin in infancy.
Yes.
And an infant, as we all know, is born incredibly needy.
Yeah.
He's completely dependent upon his parents,
exactly.
Her parents,
mm-hmm.
for everything.
Yeah.
When we begin our faith walk in Christ, we're that way as well. But the goal is to not stay in that state.
Yeah.
You don't want your new baby Graham
to exactly.
stay in a state
always
of
forever dependent.
Neediness.
Yes, exactly.
You want him to be able to provide for himself, look to God, and have his needs met through Jesus Christ.
Exactly, And so if you don't have that internal completion, satisfaction, you will have to look to others to try to satisfy that in you. You know, you don't just ignore it, but it's something I need. Something deep in me. I feel unrest. I feel unstable.
Yeah.
So I have to have someone stabilize me. I have to have someone else bring me rest. I have to have something else give me rest, you know? And those are the people that are in the continual state of need is that they don't have the maturity, the growth, the upright standing in God and in the authority that he has given us. Right?
Yeah. And it doesn't mean from time to time we won't have need.
Yeah.
But a state of neediness, of like this desperation.
Yeah, exactly.
Is what we are invited away from
yeah.
in Christ, where the hole that we are born with in our heart, in a sense, is filled. Mm-hmm. And we're growing in knowing how to experience yeah. that. But that ought to be the goal, is everyone growing toward that yeah, end.
Exactly.
It would be a sad state to see a physical 13-year-old who, though they should be capable of
yeah.
caring for themselves, is still in a position of neediness
mm-hmm, exactly.
to be fed, to be clothed, to be cleaned,
yeah.
to give them a attention and affection. Yeah. The same would be true spiritually. If a person had walked with Christ for some amount of time and they're still in a position of extreme neediness emotionally mm-hmm. and spiritually, that would be a sad state.
Yeah.
That's not what we are invited to in Christ, is continual neediness.
Yeah, exactly. So again, in our conversation today, we're not just going to be talking about the people who have physical needs, because that's real, you know, people who are mm-hmm. needing things in their life, you know, money, rent, all the basic right. necessities, all this kind of stuff. But for our conversation today, we're talking about the craving of the soul needs, you know, the mm-hmm. attention and affection and time and acceptance, love and worth, you know, affirmation, forgiveness, all of right. these core cravings that we have, the direction and for encouragement, the people who are needy, seemingly always in a deficiency of it, you know,
yeah,
and,
right.
and whatever is given to them, it's like, doesn't quench the thirst, you
right.
know, that is what we're talking about today, you know, and you see that in the people who are relentless in trying to have conversation. They're always texting, always messaging. They're like, I'm in such a need. I have to reach out and I have to hear your words. I have to have yeah. your time. I have to have your attention. I have to have your affection, you know?
Right.
That is someone who is needy.
Yeah. They're desperate for
They're
it.
They're desperate. They're craving something internal down deep. It's not just, again, like a physical need, but
right.
they have something in them that they're saying, I need to be met here, right? It's,
yep.
it's people who are desperate to spend every single moment with you.
Yep.
You know, they're always, hey, can I come over? Hey, can we hang out? Hey, yep. can I, you know, all this yep. kind of stuff. That is someone who is needy, someone who's desperate for assurance. You know, they're mm-hmm. always asking, is this the right thing? Am I doing the good thing? And, you know, mm-hmm. continually assure me, because I'm not standing on anything, right?
Right.
Or, you know, the people who live with the fear that you're always going to leave them, you know, and they might even sad. Gaslight you, saying, hey, well, everyone else has always left me in my life, so I just really hope you're not one of those people Ooh. Who leave me eventually and all this stuff. It's a manipulation it's, tactic.
Yes.
For someone who is needy.
Yes.
To where you get the other person to agree, no, I would never leave you. Hey, yeah. I'm right here with, I'm for you. There's no reason I should leave and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
What's going to happen usually eventually is that need. They go, okay, well, hey, you said this. I have great needs. You said you're never going to leave me. Now meet all my needs.
Yes. Yeah. That, if someone's saying that to you, it's an indicator they have a hole inside
yeah.
that's not been met in yeah. Christ, and they'll turn and look to people
yeah.
instead. Yeah. Right.
So some of the other people, you see this neediness in some other examples, and people who are, again, relentless in seeking the compliments, relentless in seeking the affirmation. I've got to have more. It's not quenching my thirst. It's not satisfying
yep.
who, you know, who, like, my identity and all this kind of stuff. You haven't given me that, so I need more. You have people who find it difficult to make decisions for themselves, and they always got to ask everyone, or someone else has to make the decision for them.
Yep.
That is someone who is in a state of neediness. The people who are easily offended,
yep.
they're already in such a lack that if anything gets brought up about their lack, then they're offended instantly and they're angry and all this mm-hmm. stuff. The people who are overly suspicious and jealous are people who are needy. They don't feel settled. They don't feel resolved.
Yeah.
And so they're, oh, something's going to happen. Oh, this is terrible. You know,
yeah.
or they're jealous that this person's getting this and they're getting that and I'm yeah. not getting anything. And, you know, all you see is just how empty you are. All you see is just how desperate your situation
yeah.
is.
And again, they view life that way. They are the ultimate in glass less than half full.
Yeah, my glass is empty.
It's basically empty all the time. So they're looking for anything that could somehow fill it up, and it never does. That's a sad. It's a sad place to live.
Yeah.
I think this is, you know, when Jesus talked about he'd come for those who are poor and blind and in need and held captive. I think this is what he's talking about. He's talking about people who are in their soul, in the depths of who they are, they are empty. And Jesus comes to fill all of that. Again, not that we won't have times of need in our life, but that we know where our need is met in Christ. We move out of the place of neediness. Mm-hmm. Now, we could talk a lot about, why do people get into that situation?
Why are they needy?
What factors went into that? Why are they that way today? We could talk about past. We could talk about traumatic experiences. We could talk about insecurities. We could talk about immature faith. There's a lot we could talk about.
Too many, actually.
Yeah, too many. and some of those might be intriguing, interesting, yeah. But for the sake of our conversation today and for time's sake, we're going to talk about not just how do they get into that situation or why are they that way, mm-hmm. but how do we help them?
Yeah.
What do we do? Because as Christians, there's this part of us that knows that's right to do is to help someone in a time yeah, of need. Exactly. We want to do that.
Yeah.
We're called to do that. The Spirit of God within us wants to do that. But it's important that we have great discernment to understand how do we do that today?
Yeah.
How do we help people who are not just in a time of need, but in the neediness
yeah.
category? How do we do that?
Yeah, I think for asking the question why, that is the easy question to ask, and it's the tempting question to ask and then get caught up in. I mean, that's, in a sense, that's like what therapists do.
Yeah.
Why are you this way? What yeah. happened? You know, blah, blah, blah. And you dive into all the history and Ooh. History and history. And here's every yeah. traumatic history. Here's all my trust issues. Here's all my pain. Here's all my whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. And on one hand, like, that's good and, you know, you should ask those questions sometimes, but all it does is it provides history.
Yep.
It provides context for maybe why someone acts the way they do.
Yeah.
But asking the question, how do we help them? That's a hard question.
Yeah.
That's a hard, complex, okay, this is going to have to like take us forward now.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of talking history, you're talking answers. You're talking resolve. You're talking healing and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's hard to get
yeah.
to.
Yeah. If you're going to walk back into a room where trauma happened, let's don't go back there just to revisit it. Let's
yeah,
go back
the
there
flashlight.
Let's go back there to be healed.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
that room is no longer one we have to walk back into.
Exactly.
So yeah. yeah. So that's where we're headed today. How do you help someone
yeah.
who is looking to you in their neediness? What do you do as a follower of Jesus Christ?
Yeah. So it is important that you take these steps, and the first one being that we need to understand that you can't meet everyone's needs, nor should you.
Mm.
And so it's awkward.
That's hard.
Because you might be going, that's wrong. But I'll say it again.
Yeah.
You got to understand that you cannot meet everyone's needs.
Mm-hmm.
You can't meet every needs of one person.
Right.
And you shouldn't yeah. meet every need of one person.
Yeah.
You can't and you shouldn't.
Yeah. You shouldn't be the source for their neediness.
Yeah. I'm not saying you shouldn't go help them.
Right.
I'm not saying, you know, you can't help them. You're not supposed to. That's not it. But like,
right.
cause like you're saying, there is that drive in us to help the person who's hurting, help mm-hmm. the person who's in need,
mm-hmm.
but you can't meet every one of their needs and you shouldn't
right.
strive your whole Christian life doing that because
yeah.
Christians can get caught up in that spot of just, I've got to meet every need of this person. It's my responsibility to make sure that they know that I love them and all this kind of mm-hmm. stuff, you know? And it's like, well, is that the goal of Christian living? That someone knows that I love them and that's the end of it?
No.
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 That's not.
That's an incomplete picture.
Exactly. The goal for meeting needs, again, the physical, the emotional, the spiritual, the relational, all this stuff, mm-hmm. should always be for the purpose of pointing the other person to Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, and it sounds so cliche, but it's so true, though. Like, it is not just so you can meet their need and say, okay, whew, good, we're done.
Yeah.
Because you can't and you shouldn't meet every single need, but you can point them to Jesus who does and can and has
yeah.
met every need for people throughout history. You
yeah.
know?
Even in marriage. I mean, that's the whole point of a yeah. husband loving his wife. He's supposed to be like Christ loves the church.
Yeah.
He's supposed to love in such a way
yeah.
that she knows, oh, this is Jesus to me.
Yes.
Our relationships are shaped on that. That,
exactly.
that has to be the end goal
exactly.
of relationships, to love
yeah.
so that the other person identifies that with Christ. There can't be any secret about it. There shouldn't be any hints about it. I mean, yeah. there shouldn't be any having to give hints about it. It should be pretty bold, pretty declarative.
Yeah.
I'm doing this so that you can see the love of Christ through me.
Exactly.
That's yes. the point.
So some things to consider. If you become this needy person's source of comfort alone, you never show them how to find comfort in Christ, that is not helping them. That is not meeting their needs. Yeah. It might meet the instant need, but it is not meeting the long-term need. And if you think bigger picture, what's more important? The long-term need yeah. is obviously more important. So All if right. you become their place of dependence and never help them achieve dependence on Christ, that is not meeting their need, their deeper need.
Yeah. yeah.
And if you become their place of acceptance and worth, ouch.
Yeah.
Because we like to be like, I accept you. I love you. You're awesome. Look at all the things you've done. Look at all your right. potential, all this stuff. But you never show them how to find their acceptance and worth in Christ. Mm-hmm. You never show them Christ's acceptance. You never show them the worth that God has on their life. You are not meeting their deeper need. You yeah. might be meeting a more surface level, short term now need.
Yeah.
But the deeper need is to show them, hey, be dependent on Christ in your needs.
Yeah.
Hey, look to Christ where you're hurting, you know?
Yeah. I just, I'm thinking down a trail here for just a second is I wonder if, you know, the fact that for some time in some denominations, especially, you've had the gospel detached from life.
Uh-huh.
The gospel is this thing that takes care of your spiritual uh-huh. life, but really it's where it belongs, just over in the spiritual component mm-hmm. and not in the rest of the areas of life.
Yeah.
So if you separate those two out, I just wonder if that's why you what you end up with is people with still needs in their life, and they're mm-hmm. extremely needy because they don't know how the gospel applies over in those areas. That makes mm-hmm. sense?
Yeah.
It doesn't heal in those areas.
Yeah. You're saying like relationally, emotionally, and all this.
Yeah. Know. In all those areas, you're not helping people heal in the entirety of who they are.
Hold me.
You're preaching a gospel to a piece of their life. And so they still end up with these deep needs in their life. I still have loneliness. I still have resentment. I still have acceptance issues. I still have identity issues.
Yeah.
I still struggle with insecurities. I still struggle with anger. I still struggle with bitterness. But I know I'm saved. I'm saved. There's no question yeah. about that. I yeah. go to church and I worship God and I give yeah. and I pray, but yeah. I've got all these other issues over here.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally unrelated, of course.
Yeah. The one has nothing to do with anything yeah. else. You can totally, you know, believe the gospel and still have anxiety and depressive issues in your life. What?
Yeah.
What are we saying here?
Yeah.
Is the gospel not powerful enough to bring peace and healing and hope to all these other areas in our life? But if you live out a way of the Christian life that is somehow segmented and compartmentalized, and you don't help people see how the blood of Jesus shed for them and the resurrection power of Jesus enters into their identity, what are we doing? You know,
exactly.
We're creating people who still live needy.
Yeah,
we're creating the very system yeah. that we're wondering what in the world is going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, just a little thought process.
100%. There. So on that and in this idea from Matthew 10:42, it says, "For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name," this is Jesus speaking, whoever, yeah. so you're going to give a cup of water to someone in need, but you're giving mm-hmm. it in Jesus' name on his behalf.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "Because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward."
Yeah.
So whenever you're going to meet the need of someone, do it saying, this is on behalf of God's relationship to me and yes. through him to you.
Yes.
Lifting him up and living him out then.
Yeah.
This is done to you by way of Jesus. Not yeah. because of me. Don't come be dependent upon me for this.
Yeah.
But know that God worked through me to you. Now be connected to him.
Yeah. I'm wanting you to see him in this. I'm yeah. living him out so I can lift him up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's good. Yeah. So meet every need that comes your way, meet what you can, but toward the end of showing them Christ.
Yes.
Should you become the source? No, that's no. not the goal.
No.
So I think another thing to remember along the way here is that needy people will sometimes present themselves to you in some less than attractive ways in their need. And this is where I think it's important. We'll call this number two today, is that we should know, if you're dealing with needy people, know that manipulation, guilting, and shaming should be an instant indicator to not help someone.
Now everyone listening says, whoa. Not help, Christians? Not help? Are you kidding me right now?
Yes.
That sounds so not gospel-like. Aren't we supposed to help everyone all the time?
Exactly. I think this is where the rub comes in for a lot of people, for Christians, because they want to help. They want to give. They want to be sensitive to others, and they have a sensitive conscience. And so they're always looking. But the call of the gospel is to give to those who are in need. They may not even realize their need, but for those who are in a place where they are threatening, coercing, demanding, I'm not sure that's need at that point.
I know it's not need.
Thank you. Yeah. So the scripture gives us some counsel here. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity." Now, I know this verse is sometimes used to refer to tithing or giving in church, but it has much broader implications here, even into relationships and dealing with needs that other people have as well. And it's based on this premise: God loves a cheerful giver. It should be from a place of joy and sincerity and delight where I decide I would like to do this. I'm not forced into it. I'm not threatened into it. Because if you're going to apply this up into a church situation, everyone would say, well, it'd be wrong if a pastor stood up and threatened and coerced and manipulated.
In fact, people leave the church because of that.
Yeah, and demanded that I give and threatened to remove my membership if I don't give and all that. We would say, oh, that man is so wrong.
Yeah.
Well, let's apply this over in other situations as well.
Yeah.
As if there's a person in your life and they say they're needy, but they're using threat, they're using demands, they're using manipulation, they're using coercing, they're guilting, they're shaming you, that's just as wrong.
Yeah.
And it ought to be an indicator that there's a problem in that person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what they need is something more than whatever it is they're asking you for.
Exactly.
In that moment.
Exactly. People would leave the church over something like this, but go right into a scenario where they're being manipulated and guilted and shamed into giving to someone else.
Yep.
God, but they're needy and they're, you know, I got to meet their need and all this stuff. Like, again, God loves a cheerful giver. And so we need to be meeting needs out of what we can give. You know, so we give to those who need. We are not obligated, required, or responsible to meet demands of bullies.
Correct.
You know, because Christians are not to just be the weak, soft, well, I guess I have to, you know, kind of like, you've worn me out enough kind of a thing, and you're going to walk all over me, all this stuff. No, we are to
stand. And I don't want people to go around and tell them things about me.
Yeah, that I didn't give to you, and you know, you're in pain and all this, you know, but if someone is manipulating you to try to get something out of you, you are not obligated to meet that demand. Even though they may be in need, an actual like need, but if they are demanding it and manipulating you toward that end, you have the right to say no.
Correct. Yeah. Give as you purpose in your heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit within you on his initiative and your initiative. That's fine. But grudgingly, necessity, threat, coercion, guilting, shame, no. We should meet needs when we can.
Yeah.
We should meet needs that are legitimate.
Yeah.
We should meet needs that are in the scope of our ability.
Yeah.
But never, never when it isn't coming from us from a heart of love or freedom or hope or calling that we have. So that's important. Know that manipulation, guilting, and shaming should be an indicator of no, not right now. Not until this gets cleared up.
Yeah. So the other thing that's really tough about this passage and relating to people who manipulate guilt and shame and all this stuff, it's like someone might, you know, say something, try to get, you know, guilt you, shame you, all this stuff to where you would help. And you're going, I'm supposed to really be cheerful in this. I better just start loving to do this because God loves a cheerful giver and I have to give to this person. So I better be cheerful while I'm doing this. You know, I got to talk myself all into, this is really good. This is actually a good thing. I need to do this.
And God's going to punish me if I don't.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's the fear of like, well, but God said, do this. And I'm not cheerful right now, but they're saying I have to give.
Right.
So
that's guilt. That's manipulation. That's threat. That's force from outside. That's giving out of fear. Yeah,
exactly.
That something will happen
it's
to
not
me.
Not a cheerful giver.
No, that's not Spirit of God driven. That's manipulated driven. That's shaming driven. That's guilt driven.
Yeah.
So we should turn and listen to the Spirit of God directing within us.
Yeah.
And let it never be from fear.
Yeah.
Never from guilting or shaming. Those are instant turnoffs for me.
Yeah.
I stop. I stop listening at that point.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Because that's what Scripture tells me.
Yeah. And it's almost, to me, it is almost hard to call it giving whenever it's coming from someone, ooh, going to someone who's guilting or shaming
you're right. It's.
I've been trying to think of like what's another actual word for that. But it's almost like taking, the other person taking.
It's paying.
Yeah, that is what it is. I got to pay, basically I got to pay this person off.
Yes, I have to pay.
Yeah.
Whew.
Ouch.
God loves a cheerful giver, not payer.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
If you're going to give, and we know that it's for the purpose of helping the soul of another person, then it can't be out of obligation and duty. It has to be out of grace and freedom.
Yeah.
All right.
We don't have another point. This is like right on that topic, you know, because number three is this. You need to draw boundaries for yourself. So maybe after all that, you're going, what? Now what am I supposed to do? And all this kind of stuff. Yep. Well, here you go. Draw boundaries for yourself, you know, rather than dealing with the guilter, shamer, manipulator, all this stuff and trying to pay them off.
Yep.
We need to draw boundaries, right? So the goal of meeting a need in another person comes in two ways. Again, like we have talked about, pointing them to Jesus, who is the one who meets the real needs of our soul, but it is also to help them create the greater dependence on him, on the giver, right? So then that must be the realm in which we operate in, is in doing those two things. So if you are helping meet the need of someone else, as well as directing them to who to go to, that is successful. That is good. That is what you are to strive for. If you are helping meet their need and that is not happening, then you need to start drawing some boundaries for yourself.
Yep. That's true.
Because it is not healthy if a needy person becomes dependent entirely on you.
Yeah.
That is not a healthy situation.
Yeah, it's making you the savior.
Exactly.
You're putting yourself in a wrong position for yourself's sake, and you're putting them in a wrong position as well.
Again, it is not healthy if they are not learning to be independent.
Correct.
They are learning simple dependence on you rather than the bigger picture, putting their faith in God who is providing, right?
Yep.
And it's not healthy if they are not learning to be dependent on Jesus specifically. Yep. You know, so again, for those reasons, you must draw boundaries on yourself. Mm. One huge one being, am I able to stay emotionally, mentally, and spiritually healthy while meeting this need? You know, because that is a very healthy boundary to draw. If your meeting of this person's need is causing you to be emotionally distressed, and not just like, oh man, it's a little bit of a burden, but I get, you know, but like emotionally, this is taking me down, you know?
Yeah. If you're meeting a need in someone's life because you're afraid that they're going to be mad at you.
Yeah.
Because you're afraid they're going to make your life hard.
Yeah.
Because you're afraid they're going to punish you. Because you're afraid they're going to expose you in some way. That is the ultimate tool of the enemy against you.
And again, that's literally making payments rather than giving. You're paying toward that end.
Basically. Exactly. I'm paying you off. I'm paying you a ransom.
Yeah.
I'm paying money of my soul. I'm paying what I have to make sure I don't suffer and that you get what you want. That's evil. That's brutal. Yeah. That's a terrorist is what that is.
Yeah.
That's a soul terrorist.
Another huge boundary to draw for yourself in giving to other people is, are you able to still meet the needs of the other key people in your life? So again, if you're married, are you still able to meet the needs of your spouse? If you have kids, are you still able to meet the needs of your children? Yeah. You know, or again, just in family scenario in general, you know, are you able to meet the needs of those closest to you in your family, to your friends, as well as meeting the needs of this person? You know, because if it is taking all the priority away to where you're no longer able to meet the need of your spouse or your kids or your, you know, siblings, whatever it is.
Yep.
I would say, hey, that's not healthy. You need to work towards their independence and your priorities, you know? So draw that boundary. Any other thoughts on that?
No, that's so good. That's good.
But another boundary to draw is, am I able to continue meeting needs out of genuine love, desire, and grace? You know, whenever that starts to diminish, start asking the questions and start having the conversations with them. Hey, I want to do this out of love, out of desire for my, like, internally, and I want to do this as a way of grace to you, you know?
Yeah.
And so, again, working toward that end for that other person, if they are not working toward that way, then you must draw the boundary.
Yeah.
Right?
Again, if the scripture says that God loves a cheerful giver, he loves it when that happens, then the opposite would be true. God is not very happy when there is a manipulated giver.
Yeah, exactly.
God is not pleased with a coerced giver.
Yeah.
God is not finding joy and delight in a threatened giver. Yeah. That's not his delight. Exactly. It's not his goal and
because
his purpose.
If our goal in this life is to emulate, to reflect the character of God, he doesn't give because he's manipulated.
Right.
He doesn't give because, you know, you do so much for, you know, he gives out of his grace, you know? And so that's a boundary we have to draw for ourselves. And
then, because the one who tried to manipulate God, threaten God, coerce God, he's kicked out of heaven.
Yeah, exactly.
Forever.
Yep. So another boundary to draw in your life, in your giving, is asking the question, am I being controlled by this person who has the need? And like we've been talking about, are you paying them off or are you giving to them?
Yeah.
And if you are paying them off, it's time to draw that boundary, right? That's some awkward stuff.
It is. It is. But and this is the way Jesus taught us to love other people. Even, you know, the second great commandment is to love your neighbor. And Jesus gave a qualifier of how we do that, as you love yourself.
Yes.
So as you're able to fully and completely understand and love yourself, not in a selfish way, but out of the love that's in you, love other people, not out of a place of dis-ease, dis-harmony, dis-contentment or anger or frustration or guilting upon you. That, there's something wrong with all of that. Yeah. So yes, exactly. Draw boundaries for yourself.
Yeah. And you might be asking the question, isn't that going to hurt them? What is that going to look like for me? All this kind of stuff. It might, and I would say it will. It will hurt someone. Someone's going to be like, are you kidding me? Hold on. Wait, what? This is, how come? You know, but it's like, we're not responsible entirely for how someone reacts to a boundary drawn.
Yeah. Sometimes a boundary drawn is what causes a person to repent of where they've been.
Exactly.
It was a boundary drawn that told us we were in sin
and
told us we would be experience the punishment of hell if we did not repent.
Exactly.
And then the gift of grace that caused our heart to change. So yes, a line is necessary. Yeah. A boundary is necessary. Yeah. It's necessary for us, but our next point is similar. You have to draw a boundary for their sake as well, for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because a person who's in a needy position needs to learn to find those needs met ultimately in Christ. And again, we're not talking about rent and car payments and that kind of stuff today. I'm talking about the soul needs of affection and affirmation and love and identity and worth, all of that. If you're in a state of neediness, then again, they need to know how to find that in Christ, and they need some boundaries drawn to help them know you won't find that in other people. You can keep looking for it, but you're only prolonging the problem and deceiving yourself and going to create greater conflict. So you have to draw those boundaries because they need to know that you are not the source of life. You can't be that for every person. And, you know, over time, being in ministry, there's been some people who have thought, or I've watched, I won't say just in our family, but I've watched it in other people as well. Yeah. They'll get connected to a person in the church and look to them as the source.
Yeah.
And they become attached in very unhealthy ways, mm-hmm. and then become quickly disappointed when the person is not able to meet all of their deepest needs. That's sad. And so what uh-huh. we're trying to do is prevent this for their sake. So in meeting another person's needs, it ought to be toward the end of helping them, again, find that that soul need is met in Christ. That ought to be part of what we do. They need to know that they can rely on Him. They need to know how to do that. So when they're feeling lonely, when they're feeling afraid, mm-hmm. when they're feeling like they have no worth, when they're feeling like they have no hope, the best response from a Jesus follower is to help another person see how to find that in Jesus, because then they can go on and be healthy and be whole. If not, we're only handicapping them.
Exactly.
We're only enslaving them to us.
To us, which is heartbreaking.
It yeah. is, and dangerous, and not helpful.
Yeah, exactly.
So you'll have to draw that boundary for their sake. Mm-hmm. So, and the sad thing is, they may even react when you do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because most people have found, hey, if I do this, this person will meet my soul needs. Mm-hmm. You know, if I complain a little bit, or if I manipulate or control or guilt, even though they don't realize what they're yeah. doing, you draw a line and say, you know what? I'm not going to be able to come over tonight. Or I'm not going to be able to do this today. I want to help you find this in Christ alone. Sometimes people just they get very angry in that moment. Yeah. And it becomes very telling. It's very sad in that moment mm-hmm. that we have to help them find their worth and their strength in Christ alone. This has to always be the end goal here. There's an interesting verse in the New Testament where Paul was talking about helping someone who had lived their life as a thief. And Paul says the goal here is not just to punish him, but to help him learn to work toward the end that they might know how to even give to others. Mm-hmm. So the verse is Ephesians 4:28. Mm-hmm. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. So here's an interesting progression. Here's someone who was needy, and they stole from others. Let him learn how to find their own provision, and then so that they can actually give to others, toward others. That's the health process right here. Draw boundaries for another person so that they will know not to steal anymore from other people, so that they can learn to find in Christ everything that He is to them, so that they'll be able to actually turn and do that for someone else. They can help someone else who's in a time of need. That's the right progression here. And it all starts whenever we learn to draw healthy boundaries
yeah.
for us and for them.
Exactly. It's like yeah. the classic thing of, you know, give a man a fish and he'll
True.
Eat for a day.
True.
But teach a man to fish and he'll eat for a lifetime. That's yep. that idea. Like we're in the business of teaching people how to be dependent on God.
Yep.
Rather than, hey, we'll just feed you, we'll give you everything, we'll meet all your needs and yep. all that stuff. That's not the goal.
Yeah. And not just for spiritual aspects yeah. of life, but for the whole
for
of
the
life,
whole,
for your relationships, for your worth, for your identity, for how yeah. you work, how you relate, yeah.
for your
how you see
health.
Life. Yes. Yeah.
For your emotional health.
Yes.
That Jesus meets every area, your whole being. There's no area that is apart from Him.
Yes.
So again, our fifth point is this: point them to find their needs met in Jesus. Again,
yeah.
that's what we have been saying, but just yeah. to continue hammering home on it, Jesus came to free us mm-hmm. from being needy. He came to satisfy us.
Mm.
He came to give us rivers of living water that quench our thirst.
And you know? Flow from us.
And then flow from us. After they have quenched our thirst, you have it flow from you to others.
Whew.
And you are born needy. Yeah. You are born dry. You
right.
are born without the living water in you.
Yep.
Right? Like in classic Romans 3:23 mm-hmm. says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are born with a craving
mm-hmm.
to have a deep sense of love, acceptance, approval, worth, meaning, and sinning. Original sin makes a void in your life of those known cravings. You know, it creates that void. And so God sees us in our neediness, and wow, what do you know? Sends his son to meet our needs so that we would then go meet other people's needs, right? Yeah. And so Philippians 4:19, it says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Yeah. Some of those verses that's often used in terms of financial needs, you know?
It's like, yeah, exactly. But it's talking about the most core as to who you are, because even all the financial things in your life stem from the absolute most core of who you are, right? Yeah. It's not just financial needs we're talking about, but the deep spiritual needs. God supplies our deepest needs, knowing I am loved, I am seen, I am accepted, I am forgiven, I've been made new, I have a purpose, I belong to a family, my future is secure, I have peace with God, I am settled, I am resolved, he's present with me, he's for me, he's not against me. God supplies all our needs from his riches.
Yeah.
And that's who we become dependent on for our deep core needs. And then God's desire is for us to look to him for all of those deep core needs.
Yeah.
And again, for us to go and then tell others, hey, I can tell you internally at the core of who you are asking this question, am I loved? Can I really be forgiven? That's what needy people are asking, those questions. So we are to be bold and declarative about those questions. Yeah. Ask them those. Tell them, hey, I know you internally are asking this, and I know I can't satisfy that, but God can, because he has for me, you know?
It's good. It's good.
So again, you get these incredible passages, these incredible verses, like Psalm 40, verse 17, it says, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me.
Yeah.
You are my help and my deliverer. For a person poor and needy. I mean, share that verse with someone who's needy. Pray that verse over that person in your life that is needy.
Yeah. And help them know how to get there.
Yes.
Help them know how to attach that soul need with this soul loving God.
Yeah, exactly. That says the Lord thinks upon me. Remember that. Renew your mind with that. That says, you are my help and my deliverer. Renew your mind with that stuff, right? Psalm 34, verse 6, it says, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible.
That's every man's story to come to Christ.
Exactly. Yeah. This poor man cried out, the Lord heard him. You just say, hey, the Lord hears you. The Lord thinks upon you.
Yep.
I mean, that is mind shifting whenever you are a person in need asking those deep questions, right? And then Matthew 5:3, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. And you also have those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled, you know? And so for the people in that need, the deep soul need, turn to God. Look, he desires for us to be met there, and he desires that deepest soul need to be satisfied.
Yeah, it doesn't say, bless your heart, you poor people.
Yeah, exactly.
Bless your heart, you poor in spirit. Yeah. No. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You have supply. You have all you need and more.
Yeah.
The entire kingdom of heaven at your disposal when you are feeling in your most needy state.
Yes.
Woo.
Man. Yep.
All right. Number six, what do? You encourage them to take the steps of independence, just like you would with a child. When they're hitting 6, 8, 9, 10 months, 11 months, 13 months, whatever it is, whenever they want to start walking, you help them with that.
Yep.
You don't discourage that. You don't trip them.
No.
You don't tease them. No. You don't mock them.
And you don't just like, oh, well, I just pick you up and carry you everywhere.
Correct.
No, you encourage them. Take steps.
And you don't keep holding their hand.
Exactly.
The whole time.
Yeah.
If you do, you're going to hurt your back.
Yeah.
You'll hurt them.
Yeah. And they're going to have to fall. They're going to have to figure it out.
Yep.
They're going to cry. They're going to be frustrated.
Yep. And you're going to be challenged along the way when they fall down again.
Exactly.
But you encourage them. So needy people, draw the boundaries. Yes. Encourage them to take some steps of independence. Yes.
Yeah.
Encourage them to read the Bible on their own. Encourage them to pray on their own. Trust God in their space. Repent of their sin on their own. Take steps of faith on their own. Rely on God on their own.
Yeah.
they may stumble at it. It may be awkward for them, but encourage them in that. Encourage them to take those steps. This is what they need. This is what will help them. That's helping someone who's needy.
And they have to. They have to take the steps of independence. That it's not like, oh man, that would be a really cool thing, but it probably won't happen. All right, anyways. No, that's literally the goal. That's the goal for someone who's needy.
Yeah.
Take the steps.
I mean, I think back to when we were helping y'all learn how to ride a bike. You know, walking is one thing. You're usually a step or two away, but when you're helping a child learn to ride a two-wheel bike for the first time, and you push them off and they start pedaling, I mean, pretty soon they're 5 yards, 10 yards, 15, 20 yards away from you. You can't get there fast enough when they fall.
Yeah, exactly.
And they will.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
But you encourage, you celebrate, you cheer them on. Way to go.
Exactly. So number 7 for us today is pray for them and pray with them.
Yeah.
They will need someone to help model prayers for them. You know, that's what Jesus has done for us, even in the Lord's Prayer, you know. But they will need your prayers to help carry them, to help stabilize them. That is how you meet their core needs, is you don't take it upon yourself to meet all their needs, but you, in prayer, entrust God to meet all of their needs. And that's what our responsibility is, to pray for them and then to pray with them, show them how to pray. They need you to do that. That is what the needy person needs, and that is how you can meet their need, is to pray for them and with them.
Yeah, so that brings us to our last one today, and it is to celebrate with them. And when they take those steps, celebrate with them.
Yeah.
Every one of these are important today. I'm just reminded of the spiritual gifts in the book of Romans.
Yeah.
In chapter 12, you find this list of what are the motivational gifts, I believe, that the Spirit gives to the church. And they're never all in one person. God designed the church in such a way that every member has a different function and role. And so there are those within the body of Christ who have the gift of mercy and compassion, and they're necessary. When someone's hurting in a time of need, they sense it, and they can go to them, and they weep with them, and they cry with them, and they pray with them. But there are also those within the body of Christ that are the gift of exhortation, who cheer on, who help take steps. There are those who have the gift of teaching. There are those who are the prophets. There are those who give. There are those who have the role of helping someone move beyond the moment, because there is the moment to helping the person who's in their desperate time of need and to weep with them. But there's also the moment to explain, to encourage, to cheer them on, to teach, to train, and then to celebrate with them, because this is what they need. They need to hear the voice of God speaking to them, moving them on to maturity in Christ. So I know in about 45 minutes we've covered 8 steps, and it may sound simple.
Yeah.
It's not.
All right, just do these. Yeah.
These steps take time, and with each one of them, there's great heartache. There's great investment of yourself. There's times of deep prayer, trusting God. But they are the steps that are necessary. It's a process that we have been invited to of maturity in Christ, and it ought to be our goal to help everyone else walk in that as well, and not stay in a position of immaturity or neediness. I'm glad that God meets us there to move us forward when we're at our time of desperation and neediness most. He saw us. He sent His Son, and He sent His Spirit that we might receive Him by faith and then grow in that same grace and knowledge and faith. So good stuff today. Hope it's a help to you as you attempt to live out your faith and are surrounded by people who from time to time will be needy. And I pray, our prayer is you would take these steps to help them move toward full maturity in Christ. So thanks for being with us today, being a part of what God's doing through Vertical Church. Keep on lifting Him up and living